the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
Friends and enemies, welcome to yet another edition of the Mighty CBP on the CBP Media Networks. Thank you very much for joining in today. Well, first off, I'm Len, your host for today, and I'm going to be interviewing a gentleman by the name of Gabe. And Gabe, I met not too long ago in a meetup that took place in Waterloo, but we'll talk about that in a bit. But before we go into talking to Gabe, there's a couple of things I want to get off my plate. A couple of sponsors we have to talk about. So number one, we have Easy DNS, and well, look, the name says DNS in it, right? So if you want to buy a DNS, if you want to buy a domain name, go to them. It's in the name. They'll help you out. It's quick, easy, simple, and great to do. But not only that, you could renew your domains over there, your DNS over there, but email and web hosting. Now, we at the CBP, we've been talking for a long time in the past about having a website. Took us a long time to execute it, but we finally did it with the help of Mark, and through Mark and his team at EasyDNS. Now we have our very own website, CanadianBitcoiners.com. It's a shameless plug. So you could host your emails, you could host your web with them. So the emails is simple. If you're not happy with having all your emails with Google, Yahoo, whatever, you can migrate it over to EasyDNS. So it could be very professional. It could be joeblow@yourcompanyname.com. So you can be very professional. You can look big, especially these days. You got to look big in order to make it in today's world. So lots of different options you have over there. They have a Nostra relays. So there's a whole suite of products they have over there. But remember, EasyDNS, they have a good team over there. They've been around for several decades, since the late 90s, in fact. And so many other companies have come and gone. Why? Because they don't provide the level of service that EasyDNS does. And if you aren't able to provide service, people are unhappy with you, and eventually you go tits up. And EasyDNS does not, because they are here for the long haul to help you out if ever you need it. Check them out. Use the referral code CBPMedia, 50% off your initial purchase. And our second sponsor is Bull Bitcoin. There's the hat over there. Actually, no, I've had the hat. That's a Bitcoin hat. Whatever. We'll think it's a Bull Bitcoin hat. Great place to buy your Bitcoin. Look, it's $51,850. So you could sell your Bitcoin if you wanted to with Bull Bitcoin. But why would you? It's a time to stack, not time to sell. And Bull Bitcoin has you covered with that. You could buy on-chain. You could buy Lightning with Lightning. And you could see that the fees are slowly going up. So it makes sense to maybe think about some alternate ways of buying Bitcoin. And Bull Bitcoin has you covered with buying through Lightning. Not only that, you could pay your bills with Bitcoin. And, well, think about that. Hopefully you bought a long time ago, your Bitcoin has gone up in terms of value. Now you can start spending it and spending it to pay your bills. You could also pay and buy some gift cards through Bull Bitcoin and then spend your Bitcoin indirectly in the real world. So you can live off the Satoshi standard. It's a Bitcoin standard, the way Satoshi wanted you to do. But the best thing they have, and I talk about this all the time, and I talk about the virtues of this, and this is key for people out there that haven't yet done so, KYC free. Learn how to do KYC free Bitcoin, how to buy it. Bull Bitcoin has you covered. You go to them and you load up your Canada Post account. And then with that, you're good to go. You have some KYC free Bitcoin. And yeah, that's the best thing about them. I love it. And if you use our referral code, you're going to get $21 added to your account. No questions asked. But that's the formalities. I got to bring in the man of the hour. And that is Gabe, the Bitcoin advisor. Gabe, how are you, buddy?
Good, Len. Thank you so much for having me on. Thanks for the time. Well,
I know. I appreciate for you taking the time to come out here. Now, just wanted to lay the groundwork here. Gabe and I, we met once only. I don't think we met more than once, but it was a place in Waterloo, Innocente's Brewery, and we met at the back. It wasn't like the parking lot. I don't know what the fuck that area was, but anyways, that's where we met.
That sounds very weird.
It was just funny because I remember just sitting there in the park bench they had. We were chatting away with a bunch of other cornlords, and all of a sudden you came up. Some dude came up wearing a suit. We're all just a bunch of jabronis just dressed like, you know, we normally dress. And here you are dressed to the nines. Why were you dressed like that? You're coming straight from work?
I was coming straight from work. That's still, it's funny. I'm at my fiat office. But yeah, I was still a working advisor. financial advisor. So I was coming straight from work. I had to get in touch with some Bitcoiners and meet them in Waterloo. So yeah, I don't dress like that anymore.
Too bad, because that's how I always remember you. And if you're never wearing your suit, I'm going to be always disappointed. But for people who don't know, who the heck is Gabe? Gabe, yeah. Give us a background who you are.
Yeah. So who's Gabe? I'm a 23-year-old financial advisor, no longer. I was for 3 years. I stepped down from the advising role in December and then kind of just went on this endeavor of bringing Bitcoin education, guidance, and support, again, like what Bitcoin Advisors is all about, to Canada. And that really kind of sparked in November when I went to El Salvador and saw what people are building down there. I thought Canada needed some of that, and hopefully we can start from the ground up here and get people involved. But yeah, my story is really basic. Financial advisor turned Bitcoin advisor. So
how'd you come across Bitcoin? Because I can see an indirect connection between the two, but I'd like to hear your story, how you ultimately became a Bitcoiner.
Yeah, it's actually pretty funny because being in the traditional financial fiat system and recommending people traditional products helped me understand Bitcoin. So in the summer of 2020, a friend had brought up, you know, everyone's locked in their houses and you're finding things to do. My friend thought crypto was the best thing to do, right? And a lot of people did day trading and stuff like that. So I got wrapped up, and January 2021 was when I bought my first little bit of Bitcoin. And that's the same time that I stepped into the industry as an advisor. So actually, throughout my whole time of being an advisor, I had the opportunity to compare traditional products like mutual funds, bonds, whatever, with Bitcoin, right? As I was going on my journey, allocating more to my portfolio. And 2021 was crazy because, you know, as soon as, and I think every Bitcoiner has been through this, if you haven't, you're lying, where you kind of dabble in some shit coining, right? So you buy here and there, and especially again, from my background, I'm like, diversify. I got to have like a few stocks, a few cryptos in my portfolio and see how they perform over time. 2022 rolls around, everything crashes. I lose money in Luna, Celsius, all of this stuff. Actually, I miss Celsius super by a narrow margin. So yeah, that helped me understand, oh, number one, not your keys, not your coins. Mm-hmm. Number two, anyone that has a marketing team, any crypto that has a marketing team is all bullshit. So 99.9999% of the cryptos out there. So yeah, all roads lead back to Bitcoin. And I'm glad I learned my lesson relatively quick. So from January 2021 to today, I'm Bitcoin only. I actually live on a Bitcoin standard using the bills function with both Bitcoin. So yeah, highly recommend if anyone hasn't done it.
Wow, good for you. You're doing that. A lot of people, unfortunately, they're still tied to the fiat world, so they're not able to do that. Now, buying in January 2021, that's a wild time because you had that year, 2021, we had three notable events, two all-time highs, I think March and November. And also, that was the patty. Sorry, that was the bread. The patty of that sandwich was China banning Bitcoin mining. Mm-hmm. It was such an interesting time. So if you went through that and you came out still a Bitcoiner or a more hardened Bitcoiner,
yeah,
I think that's, you know, you've earned your stripes. So good for you, because so many shitcoins, as a result, shortly thereafter, they took their pounding and they've never recovered. So fuck them. You're right. Not your keys, not your coin. Now, I just want to talk about your trip to El Salvador. Mm-hmm. It was November of last year, 2023, you went?
Yeah, so I visited El Salvador in May of 2023 for the first time, because that's kind of when I would say all throughout 2022, I got involved into Bitcoin Twitter. And then 2023 rolls around and I'm like getting the itch to like understand how people are living on Bitcoin in El Salvador. So I'm like, hey man, I just got to go down there and experience it. So I hopped into this Telegram channel called Bitcoiners in El Salvador, and everyone there speaks English. And I just, you know, look for accommodations. Is it safe? Because my parents, you know, are worried about me, whatever. I get down there for about 3 days and experience what the future could look like, right? Life on a Bitcoin standard where you have digital money on your phone and it's secured by 12 or 24 words. It's beautiful. So that then sparked my journey to in November, because through the people there, they said, hey, if you like what you see here and you've only been here for 3 days, you got to come back in November. There's a conference. So the Adopting Bitcoin conference was, yeah, one of the highlights of 2023 for sure.
Incredible. And that was actually the beginning of a run up somewhere around November. The price of Bitcoin, if you look at, started around in the 30-ish, and it, yeah. Now it's, you know, 2-3 months later, it's now 4 months later, it's now in the 50. So it's, you know, it's been an absolute crazy ride in just a few short months. Yeah. So I want you to bridge the gap between buying your first Bitcoin in January 2021 to going to El Salvador twice in the calendar year 2023 to starting the Bitcoin Advisors. Bridge that gap. How did you get to that point? Because I want to talk a little bit more about Bitcoin Advisors.
Yeah, so 2022 was that learning period, right? Where everything kind of goes down the toilet and I'm like spiraling. I'm like, shit, what did I do? Obviously, I still had my traditional investments, which unfortunately kind of saved me. But it's now the other way around. Bitcoin is going to save me moving forward. But 2022, learning a lot, I kind of didn't want people to experience exactly what I experienced, which was losing money. So I thought, you know, there's got to be a way that I can reach out for guidance. And, you know, Googling BTC sessions, first of all, shout out to him. Congrats on hitting 100K. But huge value add to my journey. So I wanted to take that value, that knowledge, and give it to other people that are just coming into the space so that they don't go onto a Coinbase and get distracted by 20 different crypto, or well, 20,000 different cryptos out there, and just stay focused on Bitcoin. 2023 rolls around and I said, okay, I'll just start a website. It's super cheap to do.
Hopefully use the ZDNS to start the website. If not, shame on you if not.
I will after this call. Yeah, so the website initially was really just a way for me to connect educational material and Bitcoin projects around the world. Because again, seeing the stuff in May, so I started the website in August, but seeing the stuff in May in El Salvador made me want to be like, okay, there's so many good projects and so many people building around the Bitcoin ethos and like what it has to offer that I want to put up basically free marketing, right? That's what the website was supposed to be. And then I had a lot of people reach out to me saying, hey, how do I buy Bitcoin? How do I store it? How do I do all of this? And if there's a demand, then yeah, I'll build a product or a service to kind of fill that demand. So after November, being surrounded by so many builders, it really just gave me that motivation to do a full launch in January with my services being super affordable. And hopefully I'm an approachable person that you can trust. So I can guide you in the right direction, right? I really want to be that guidance that I wish I had on my journey. And although I learned quick, hopefully I can just point people to the answer and then they don't take such hard, like they don't have a hard time learning that lesson, right?
So when somebody comes to you looking for help, essentially what type of goals are you trying to achieve with this individual?
Yeah, so first of all, the first onboarding session is free, right? And normally this is either a explanation. I mean, when you go to the website, the first question on there, it's a big button that says, why Bitcoin? So hopefully that answers the question for people to then reach out to me and say, hey, how do I buy it? Now, the problem is that when people go online and say, how do I buy Bitcoin? Well, they think they've bought it and they have it. But the first onboarding session that I do for everything is buy on an exchange, like normal, withdraw it, and back up your 12 or 24 words. That's it, right? And then we go into a few different questions. And then again, I made the services super affordable because I feel like people are going to have so many questions. And I love talking about Bitcoin and helping people either run a node, set up a hardware wallet. If you already have one, then moving to another one that might be, maybe has a better reputation. or is Bitcoin only? I really offer kind of a broad range of services. And the whole point is I have people in my circle like yourselves and the Bitcoiners that we know around us here in Canada. We can connect people to so many resources and like individuals that are willing to help, that if I don't have the answer, then I'm going to connect you to someone that does, or I'll point you in the right direction. But yeah, basically anyone can ask me any question and I'll get the answer.
So for people that are wondering, the website is www.bitcoinadvisors.org. So that's the website if anybody's interested. So let's just say, for example, I'm a new person to Bitcoin. I'm very familiar with, you know, using banking services and all that garbage that we've been born to deal with since we were born.
Yeah.
But I want to start using Bitcoin. I want to start buying it and just start potentially even transacting with it in the future. What do you do them like initially? Do you even bring them to testnet? Is that even an option you do? Because let's be honest, if you make a mistake with your keys somewhere along the way, there's gone. There's no bank that could replenish your supplies. You're done. It's gone. So is testnet something you even consider or not?
I'll probably, I consider it just now.
Okay. Very good. can't go wrong with testnet. Like, you can play around, play around, and if you screw it up, it's not the end of the world. You just lost a little bit of time, which sucks, but.
And it's funny because, like, you know, the argument against that would be like, hey, if you don't do this right, then you just lost your money, right? But hopefully, testnet can provide that simulation of pain to losing $1,000 on a transaction or something like that. But no, I think the steps I take are reasonably safe. Number one, back up your hardware wallet, or a hot wallet probably is what people are going to start with on Nunchuck or Blue Wallet. Take down your 12 or 24 words and then recover it, right? Very easy thing to do, and then do a test transaction, and all of that. And then you get into like multi-sig passphrase, almost like too deep down the Bitcoin rabbit hole. And that's where I would rather pass off my services to someone who's been in the game for a long, long time. So although I am comfortable in explaining what these things are, I might not want to take the risk or liability at screwing something up. Right. And there are other organizations that have massive teams, cybersecurity experts behind them that I would feel much more comfortable handing them off rather than me taking that responsibility on. And again, that's where the connections come into play. Right. I don't want to be the know-all be-all, but I want to be a trusted contact so that my reputation lies on, okay, I know if I go to Gabe and ask him a question or who he can connect me to, that the person that I get connected to will be a reputable person.
So generally, who are the people that come to you? Is it typically individuals or is it typically businesses or is it a good mix of both?
So number one, I am targeting businesses actively. Individuals will come to me because this is something that I wanted to touch on. The reason I'm focusing on businesses is, for example, I have a sticker on my car and it just says study Bitcoin from bitcoin.rocks. Good website if you haven't visited it. But I don't know how many people have walked by, scanned the QR code, gone on bitcoin.rocks, and then read up on Bitcoin. But what I'm hoping is that someone has. My target on businesses isn't necessarily to make Bitcoiners spend their Bitcoin. We know how valuable of an asset it is. And there's two arguments: spend and help the circular economy, or hold and just, it's a store of value. Leave it there. It's not ready to be a medium of exchange yet. I don't care about that argument. What I care about is awareness and education on Bitcoin. So what happens when a business puts up a Bitcoin accepted here sticker? How many people are going to walk by that don't know anything about Bitcoin and say, huh, why would you accept Bitcoin? I guess it must be legit, or that business must see a value in it. And then you get into the education of it. So if they ask at the front counter, oh, I saw that I can pay with Bitcoin, is that true? And the person behind the counter doesn't know anything about Bitcoin. Well, it would be pretty cool to have, I don't know, a pamphlet to an educational event that's coming up, right? And I think these things kind of fall into place. It's just about attracting the right people and attracting the most amount of people that you can. And yeah, Bitcoin accepted here stickers are really just free marketing for Bitcoin. And that's what we want.
Bitcoin.rocks, do they have those type of stickers? I got a bunch here, and yeah. I put up a bunch around my neighborhood, and one no coiner took down one of the stickers I put up. It was in a prominent spot. It was just a fantastic, but then it was gone one day. I was like, what the fuck? So I gotta replace that once the weather gets
warmer. That's the thing, right? Like even like the cities, right? Like I've put them up on park benches, like I don't know if this is a crime. Anyway, I've put them
allegedly see these stickers go up on.
Yes, exactly. I've seen them everywhere, and then I walk by the next week, and they're not there. So, yeah, with a business, if you get them to just understand Bitcoin, they're not going to have a high transaction volume, right? So these questions about taxes, how am I going to pay my bills, all of these things that a business normally cares about or have an objection to aren't really objections right now, right? There's really not that many Bitcoiners that are going to pay in Bitcoin, and that's fine. But as long as the business is okay with possibly accepting it, then that sticker will do a lot. Yeah,
it will raise awareness. And I could tell you personally, for me, if there's an opportunity to spend Bitcoin in Canada, and I'm sorry to say this, I would likely, like at a merchant, I would probably not, because of because of tax. I have to claim it as a tax. It becomes a headache. If I could do it at home and I have my spreadsheets and everything, it's much easier. But if I'm doing it on the road, it becomes a real problem. So I'm less like, so I, maybe I'm not the target audience, but you're right. Having that sticker there does raise awareness, and that alone should do a heck of a lot. And I'm wondering then, typically when a business accepts Bitcoin, the ones that you have been dealing with, do they just simply hold on to it, or do they convert it later on to Canadian dollars or whatever else they're using? Because, again, the taxes then come into play there. So I'm curious, what do businesses tend to do when they start hoarding Bitcoin?
Well, number one, if you're a business that is not generating positive cash flow, I'm not even approaching you, right? Because you have to have a positive cash flow to be able to save that Bitcoin or be comfortable with having a little bit of balance holding Bitcoin. All of the businesses that I have talked to and am aware of, they normally just save in Bitcoin, again, because of the low transaction amounts currently. Let's be honest, there's not going to be a time in which a business is forced to sell Bitcoin to pay for their bills. I just don't see that happening, because the transaction volume is just not there. Mm-hmm. So that's not a... Yeah, that's not a concern. And I think businesses would be more than happy to just hold Bitcoin. Now, there's services around. I don't really want to plug anything right now because I'm still talking to them. But there's a certain service that allows a business to accept Bitcoin on the Lightning Network and immediately have it converted to dollars. And then if they want to withdraw, like, they never hold Bitcoin. It's immediately converted and frozen in a Canadian dollar balance.
Is that using Nodeless in any way, shape, or form? Do you know? Or
sorry,
is that would be the I think that would be the front end to convert Bitcoin straight to fiat. It could be. I'm wondering if they run that.
Yeah, again, I'm still talking to to them, and that's why I don't really want to mention them yet, because I don't know how reliable that service is going to be. But you kind of like a strike, right?
Yeah.
A strike in the US or globally. It uses Lightning Rails, but the end user, if they choose not to, they don't have to hold Bitcoin, right? And that's a beautiful thing. And removes all taxable implications that could arise from holding and selling Bitcoin later on.
I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of somebody that is new to Bitcoin, a business that is new to Bitcoin, and going to be talking to you to figure out, you know, where do I start and how do I get on this journey? What are typically the questions they propose to you from the get-go? I'm just curious what the first things they tend to ask.
Why?
No, what they ask. Like, what questions do they ask? Like, what's their frame of mind?
Yeah, like number one is like, why? Right? And then I give them six reasons, really. So number one, it's low or zero transaction fees. So right now, businesses are spending money to rent their own equipment from these Visa or MasterCard payment POS systems. Now, again, accepting Bitcoin is not going to be a switch. Like, you're not flipping the switch from transaction fees to no transaction fees. You have to operate on both. But the good news is that you have options now when you accept Bitcoin. One of them is free marketing. You're going to be exposed to a brand new market of Bitcoiners around Canada or in your community that didn't have a place to spend Bitcoin at, right? Like you, Len, right? If you went to Mugs, which is 30 minutes away from London, maybe you would be tempted to buy a cup of coffee. I don't know. Maybe you pull out your spreadsheet and you say, you know what? It's worth it. but it's really just about using Bitcoin. It's like graduating to that medium of exchange. Instant settlement is a great one. Honestly, lightning quick payments is something that I don't want to introduce a business to something that creates friction. So Visa and MasterCard payments are quick. Bitcoin Lightning payments are just as quick. No fraud.
And settlement is instant too.
That's another one.
Yeah.
Instant settlement. You're not waiting 2 to 3 days for things to settle, and no fraud or chargebacks, right? Those are kind of like the six main points that I bring out. I normally don't get there because I really just send them a Lightning payment and then they're like, oh, that's cool. And we go from there.
It's awesome to see it right in front of you, especially when you have two phones that are side by side and you could essentially just scan the QR code and you could watch the transaction take place. It's essentially just a packet that's going out there and it's instant. It's like, wow, look, I sent you Bitcoin. And so one phone had their debited, the other one had it credited and just instant, and that's it. And it's final, and settlement is final.
Right. There's no way for me to request that payment back. If we have a disagreement, then we have a disagreement and we resolve it, right? But there's no middleman that's going to come in here and agree to reverse that payment. Yeah.
In terms of the signing device that they use, the wallet they use, not the hot wallet, I'm not talking about Blue Wallet or Nunchuck. What's typical amongst the new users? I think I know the answer and I hate to hear it, but I'm curious what typically people use.
I'm interested to know what you're thinking.
I'm thinking it's Ledger. I can't stand.
So it's funny because I worked at Best Buy for a few years and they started selling Ledgers.
Yeah.
Actually, that's where I bought my first one. And now people that I've onboarded, they're like getting a little bit more Bitcoin. So I'm like, hey, you should look into a hardware wallet. And they're like, oh, some of them are friends that I have at Best Buy. And they're like, oh, I'll just buy a Ledger. I'm like, no. I send them to a Jade or because it's low cost or like the ultimate one, Cold Card. I love Cold Cards. That's honestly, those are my two recommendations, Jade or Cold Card. Depending on how much they're willing to spend and how much of a Bitcoin balance they have.
Yeah, the Cold Card, I adore. Now, NVK, I'm sorry to say this, I'm probably not going to get the Q. Not sure if you saw the Q, Gabe, but the reason why I'm not going to get it is I really like my Cold Card, and I would hate to get a replacement for it that would essentially mothball it and would be collecting dust. I simply adore my cold card, and I'm not getting paid to say this or anything. It's just, it's something I like. I use it. It's simple to use. I am missing the keyboard. I kind of wish I had the keyboard that the Q has for, you know, if there's a passphrase or not. But other than that, it does everything that the Q does and does it really well. So I'm happy that you're able to ultimately get people on the cold card, because it can be a little bit of a daunting task.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at it and the instructions, but the reality is you're just following instructions. If you could bake a cake, you could do the same thing with this.
Yeah.
And granted, you know, if you fuck up with baking a cake, it's one thing. You fuck up sending your Bitcoin to your you know, with Sparrow that's attached to your gold card is something else. But yeah, I'm happy to hear that you're pushing self-custody, because self-custody is something a lot of Bitcoiners, especially newcomers, they don't tend to gravitate towards. And I talk about this quite often. It's one of the fundamentals that make Bitcoin so great. It's the fact that if you can control your keys, nothing can be done to take that away from you. And I just love that. But I just want to ask you to move on to a different question. Is I'm wondering who's approaching you in terms of even businesses or individuals. Is it typically people that are local, nationwide, or even people abroad?
Okay. So because I speak Spanish and going to El Salvador, it has been amazing to get myself involved in the Spanish community. And a lot of people need help down there. And obviously they have sometimes more of a savings need and a Bitcoin need than we do here in a privileged financial system in Canada. So yeah, there's a lot of outreach coming from Latin America, but normally it's really just referrals, and referrals come from my local community. So whether it's from the community in Guelph, London, yeah. And there's consultants all over. Like, there's actually a really good consulting network in Canada. Shout out to Sean, who organizes the Niagara meetup. He loves helping people too. And yeah, he kind of poked me to get a meetup going in London. So that's why the Twitter is set up.
Plug that right now. Since you're talking about, plug that. And so people that are in the London area can reach out to you if you have any questions and maybe attend one of these functions.
Yeah. So, I think it's London London_BTC. Oh, hopefully. I don't know. I had to come up with like a,
it is London_BTC. That is the Twitter handle.
That I got that on the first try. Yes, please follow us. If you're in and around the London area, we're going to be doing a meetup on the second Saturday of every month. We have a coffee shop here near London, about 30 minutes away, that accepts Bitcoin through Lightning payments. And yeah, it's always a good crowd that comes out. So yeah, come get connected.
Fielding a question from the audience, Benoit asks, what's used for demonstrating Lightning? Because you were mentioning earlier, you're showing off the capabilities of Lightning. Typically, what program or app do you use to show it off?
Yeah, so I'm really glad that we have a Canadian project, and you guys had them on recently, but CoinOS from Vancouver is awesome. Less than 30 seconds to get set up, and an amazing way to just transact and actually onboard not only individuals, but businesses. That's how I have my barber set up right now. I just have a little like a page with a QR code to his profile page on CoinOS, and I just scan that QR code and pay him right away. And he trusts me all the time, but like, he knows how to check it. yeah, probably doubled the, like, my haircuts have gotten twice as expensive over the past few years. But yeah, CoinOS definitely is my go-to. They now do on-chain Lightning and Liquid. So they're getting better by the day, and the team is awesome.
And I think they offer both custodial, non-custodial, where they could provide your keys and they could manage it as well. I think that's what they offer. So there's a lot of different options from CoinOS. And yeah, if you haven't watched that interview, check it out. It was done very recently by Joey. Now, a question to do with people that you're onboarding, because one of the things about Bitcoin, one of the characteristics about it that's notorious is the volatility, the volatility of price.
Yeah.
Today it could be 51,000. And, you know, I wouldn't bat an eye if it was 45 tomorrow. It could happen. And, you know, if that happened in the traditional world, if you saw some company drop in to that degree, it'd be the world is on fire. It would trip all these breakers on the NASDAQ and everything. But in Bitcoin world, it's just another day in Bitcoin. But a new person looks at that, and they'd be like wondering what the fuck is going on. So how do you prep them for this volatility?
I show them charts. Right? actually, it's really good when Bitcoin has a bad week because you really do get to see a big drop. But then you just click a few tabs, and you're like, okay, here's 5 days out. Here's a month out. Here's six, a year. And since inception, or like 5 years and then since inception, right? You zoom out of what you're feeling. And I think a lot of people get comfortable by that. And, you know, you talk about the history that Bitcoin has had, 15 years, all of this FUD coming from out of nowhere. Bitcoin is still a very nascent asset. So volatility is expected. And if you're not ready to hold for four or more years, then I'm not going to help you, right? I don't think you should come into this with a short-term investment strategy. It's not even an investment strategy. It's a savings tool, right? So if you're not coming to me with four or more years that you're expected to hold this Bitcoin, then yeah, just move on to Coinbase where you can day trade if you want. But no, I'm here to promote savings in Bitcoin and the proper storage of that Bitcoin.
Do people ask about the genesis of Bitcoin and who's the person that created it? Because often, even today, I often think about that. It's for who or what or they or whatever that was responsible for the creation of it. Because, you know, if you think about it, I mean, I'm going to go into the weeds here a little bit. We're as Bitcoiners, we tend to be skeptical. And then when there's a piece of information that comes through the newswire, we look at it, but we, you know, we try to verify, we don't trust. And even if we do verify, we're still looking like, what the fuck, is this really true? So one thing we just tend to gloss over is the person that, or people or whatever, that was behind it, the Bitcoin, the creation of it. And it just seems to be very odd that a lot of us, we just tend not to talk about it too much. Because we can't provide an answer, I guess maybe that's the reason. But I'd love to hear what newcomers think about that, because it's even today, I think it's very strange. But somebody coming new to this, they got to think it's fucking odd, right?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, someone actually asked me the other day, like, have you heard about this? Was it the NSA or like CIA creating Bitcoin? And I'm like, dude, honestly, if they did, then great. They just gave us the best tool ever. And if they rug pull us, all of us Bitcoiners, it's almost like that saying, like, if Bitcoin doesn't succeed, then we're all fucked, right? Because the traditional financial system is just in a complete mess, and it's just going down the drain here. So, yeah, that's I kind of come at it from the fundamentals. You know, it's an immutable ledger. In a new digital financial system where you completely control and are a sovereign individual when you operate and save in Bitcoin. So as long as I can explain how transactions are verified, which I'm still trying to find this simple explanation for, of what nodes are and how decentralized and what decentralization means, again, to a newcomer, that word is completely new, and what self-custody means, then they don't really care about the origin of Bitcoin, actually, right? Although Bitcoiners are naturally skeptical, most people are very trusting. So they use Gmail and Proton Mail or whatever these email services are on a regular basis without asking, how is this controlled? And who can see my emails, right? They just don't care.
Emails notoriously, it's easy to find information about what. But yeah, Proton Mail is a really good service for people that have not yet learned how to use that. Definitely free accounts, the whole nine yards, you're good to go. And then if you want to go even further, use a VPN. I recommend Mulvad. Do your own research to see what works for you. But I'm curious, for people that you're trying to introduce to Bitcoin, do you also go through the do you go to the point where you're teaching about KYC versus KYC free Bitcoin? I think there's value in that, and I understand the, you know, the nuances surrounding that. But if you're talking about this being an open and transparent ledger, and I'll use this as an example, if it's KYC Bitcoin, then theoretically, anytime you spend your Bitcoin, it would be easy to determine where you spent it and how much was spent if you know the receiving address who it's associated to. So, and if you then do enough analysis, you could almost figure out people's habits for when they go to the grocery store, what time of day, which time of day, and so forth. So there's a lot that could be found. And I wouldn't want this information readily available with my fiat spending habits, although that's available, but it's controlled within the bank and whoever has control of it, but not everybody has access to it. So by going to KYC free, if I were to spend, I could spend knowing full well that information is not available. It's just an anonymous transaction. So that's why I'm going to this point where KYC free, it's a great tool just to remain anonymous. So I'm wondering, is that something you even considered talking about to your clients, or is that something just a little too advanced?
It's almost too advanced because, you know, I only got into KYC free Bitcoin this year, right? When Bull Bitcoin made it so easy for us in Canada to get our hands on that KYC free Bitcoin. But most people just want to like get it over with and buy right away. Like if I have to tell you, sit down for an hour with me, or like sit down for 15 minutes, let's set up a Bull Bitcoin account, and then let's go to the post office. Like imagine doing this virtually too. And most of these people are buying small amounts.
Yeah.
So as you get into larger amounts, 100,000%, I will mention no KYC Bitcoin, because then that means that they're really interested, right? When you're playing with small dollars and you see it as an investment, you're not going to hold this for a long time. But as soon as you get more money into it, that's when I, you know, come in and suggest, you know, let's get your hardware wallet, no KYC, run your own node, all of this stuff that we Bitcoiners know helps us in the true sovereign individual journey, or like sovereign Bitcoiner journey. But yeah, and no KYC is getting harder in Canada. Yeah, just disappointed to see Bull Bitcoin, get clamped down. There's ways around it.
Bull Bitcoin was having issues very recently with e-transfers. So if you were to e-transfer in, so when you're using your KYC account, they were having difficulties receiving the money through the e-transfers, but still through Canada Post, you could still go to your and leave cash there. That was still working. So luckily for users like myself, I was still able to take advantage of Bull Bitcoin. So that was still working. In fact, in Canada, I think we're blessed. And in this regard that we have not just the Bull Bitcoin, there's also a competitor called Bitcoin Well that has ATMs. Now, the spread is higher on the ATMs. The process would be arguably, one would make an argument, it's easier with ATMs, but the spread is a little bit higher. Yeah. Some would say significantly higher, but nonetheless, it's an option that we have here and other parts of the world don't. So we're really, really lucky with respect to that. And I know that's more of an advanced thing, KYC versus KYC free stuff. But in terms of then when people come to you, ask for you to help them out and you give them your service, what's a realistic goal you're trying to achieve with them?
Cool. Yeah, because I don't want them to like jump. Like my ultimate goal isn't to just jump all in with Bitcoin. But like if we take an example like my mom, she doesn't get what Bitcoin is yet, but she's got a good amount just because I pay her rent.
We don't want to know that. We don't want to know that.
That is true. if we take someone that doesn't really know about Bitcoin or technology, then you just want to educate them a little bit more, right? So the whole point is to help them understand what Bitcoin is and why they even hold Bitcoin, or why they would even want Bitcoin as a part of their life. That's really it, right? And then the amount of capital that you allocate is totally up to them. As you grow more conviction, you know, it took me 2-3 years to really grow that conviction, because I just got educated a lot more, right? But everyone has their own path, and it, at the end of the day, it's really just education. I don't care how much Bitcoin you have in your portfolio. If you could, even if you understand Bitcoin totally, like I know David Collum, I've seen him on a few podcasts, and he gets Bitcoin as a store of value and all of this stuff. But he's like, honestly, I'm just like not good with tech, so I'm not going to get involved. I respect that, right? As long as you educate yourself and you do your homework and you have people around you that can help educate you, then that's it. My mission is complete. But again, we know that one leads to the other. As you understand Bitcoin, then you'll probably want to acquire more because the financial system is shit.
Yeah, but the user experience is fantastic in the traditional financials.
Yeah, convenience sucks. Convenience sucks. And you can, like, even in, like, other parts of society, like even with Uber Eats, it's really, really easy to eat bad food, mm-hmm. right? So convenience will kill you. Just, yeah, do your own research. Yeah.
But one thing that will improve, it's not there yet. It's got a long way to go. But the user experience for Bitcoin, it's, you know, one would argue it's almost borderline pathetic. But still, it's not impossible to learn. Because, you know, I'm old enough to remember people in the 90s and early 2000s, older people looking at email and say, I'll never use this. But now everybody uses it. They have a smartphone. They're conversing with people through WhatsApp, through Signal or texting, whatever the fuck it is. And they're doing this seamlessly. It's just a part of their lives. And just, two and a half decades ago, no way would this even be considered. But that goes to show you how easy it is to make it part of somebody's life. Once you show the convenience and the usefulness of the tools, they will adapt and they will start using it. And I just want to talk about the three levels of service. I see in your website there's three different tiers, tier one, tier two, tier three. Maybe you could talk about those three different tiers for anybody that's interested in them.
So the two first tiers are really differentiated by the amount of hours that I allocate to a client. I think people generally will, like, all of the tiers are super affordable compared to my hourly rate. So especially on my first one, like if you think you're going to need me for 4 hours out of the year, it's cheaper to just sign up and pay me for the year, right? And I think most people will understand that they're probably going to have a lot of questions and they'll take the added value that I provide on the discount. On the last tier, I provide a free hardware wallet, whether that, you know, we can purchase it together, and that whether it's a Jade or a cold card, then I'm happy to help you. And you have unlimited sessions. Now, this one I'm kind of juggling in my mind here. My whole mindset around these services are that I want to get you to a point where you don't need my services anymore, right? Where there's a point where I've kind of done my job, where you're running your own node, you understand what a hardware wallet is. Maybe you have multi-sig set up depending on your family situation or whatever your situation is. And then you might not really have that many questions. So why would you pay me $600 a year to have unlimited sessions if you're not going to use them? So if you sign up for that third tier and you're a person that's really going to be dedicated and motivated to ask the questions that are necessary and be a curious person, I'm going to cut the yearly rate by 20% every year. So by year five, you're free and clear, and you still have my services available to you at any time. So you're kind of like a loyalty member. but yeah, that's kind of how I came to the pricing. It's super affordable. I'm happy to talk about Bitcoin for free anyway. So yeah, sure. If I'm stepping out of my fiat job and you see a value in what I provide, right? That's all I want, right? So
we need more services like yours to help onboard people into Bitcoin, because there's a lot of questions that need answering, and people just don't have the person that's shepherding them along. And that's, you know, ultimately we need you to do that. So it's, you know, I think we've reached the end of our time here. Now, before we sign off, Gabe, I just want to pass the baton over to you, and maybe if there's anything, any last words you want to say, but also where people could find you in case they have any questions they want to propose to you. So yeah, the floor is yours, buddy.
Yeah, thank you again for the time and the space to just kind of share my project, my journey, and what I'm looking to do in the Bitcoin space. Gosh, there's so many shout outs that I want to give. I saw someone in the chat ask where in El Salvador Bitcoin adoption is most prominent. And actually, I want to give a shout out to Bitcoin Berlin because they're building something really cool there. So Berlin, El Salvador is a mountain town. How much time do I have, Len? I just want to make sure I'm not going over.
An hour?
Oh, okay. So I'll have a...
An hour and a half, I think. I guess. Yeah. You can go until I'm ready to fall asleep, and it's you got a long ways to go, buddy. So yeah, go ahead. Right, cool. Floor is yours, man. When I say the floor is yours, it's yours.
Because I've got a few shout outs here that I want to make.
Go ahead, man.
Number one, El Zante and Bitcoin Berlin are building like two communities that are really building in El Salvador, and you should follow them to see how the circular economy is growing and developing. In El Zante, you have the Bitcoin hardware store that was built by a fellow Canadian from Toronto called Ronnie. Ronnie is a good friend and a great contact down there, and he's bringing all of these tools to the Salvadoran people because shipping fees are really expensive, right? So to get a hardware wallet, to get a seed plates, all of this stuff, it's hard. So yeah, they're building something cool in El Zante. Bitcoin Berlin is the same. They've onboarded about 60 to 80 businesses in their community out of like 100. It's a really small town. There's only about 20 foreigners working there. And then the rest are locals. So you can really see the local merchant adoption and that hunger for education coming from the local community, which is really exciting to see. Other than that, Mi Primer Bitcoin or My First Bitcoin, if you haven't checked out that course, that is how I am kind of building my education structure. And shout out to Jaime Garcia in Regina, who has really kind of spearheaded the movement and brought a Mi Primer Bitcoin node to Saskatchewan. Hopefully we can bring it over to Ontario. We have Ontario, like, we got to step up our game. I mean, you've got Vancouver on merchant adoption. It's crazy. You've got Regina there with their education. So yeah, hopefully I can be a part of the building here. Other than that, I'll just plug my stuff. BTC capital A Advisors is my Twitter handle. Twitter sucks at searching up stuff, so make sure the capital is in there. And then Bitcoin
the handle is in the description, so it's gonna be part of the description of both the audio and the video in case anybody's wondering. So it's in there.
Perfect. Yeah, and then check out my website. If you need to point anyone to educational resources, I've done my best to compile my favorites. And yeah, my website is supposed to be just an educational platform for people to land. And if they do need those services to onboard, if you're a Bitcoiner and you don't think that you have time, then hopefully I can be a trusted resource. We can have a chat. Please reach out to me if you're interested in knowing more about the business and what I'm doing. If you're interested in my travel stories and what I've experienced in El Salvador, Japan, wherever. Let me know. And other than that, another shout out to Bitcoin Coalition of Canada, because they're really spearheading the movement to the politicians in Canada. So like that thing, that problem that you brought up there, Len, which is that if you spend your Bitcoin, it's a taxable offense or a taxable event, then that sucks, right? I don't want to bring up my spreadsheet every time. So hopefully we can get an under $600 like limit to just bypass that capital gain requirement. And I think they're working mainly on that and other legislation and connecting Bitcoiners around the world. So if you are trying to find someone around you, go to BitcoinCoalitionOfCanada.ca. They also kind of group together all of the communities around Canada, and there's more and more popping up. Like I said, London just popped up. So hopefully we can get more of them around Canada.
I'm wondering now if Pierre Poilievre, I don't mean to extend this too much longer, but I'm wondering because Poilievre is not, the polls are showing this. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but at least the projections show that he's going to be the next Prime Minister of Canada, at least the one that after this government is no longer in session. And he one time talked fondly of Bitcoin. And since then, this was back, I think, in March of 2022. And then the price of Bitcoin kind of tanked and then it became a political hot potato. He hasn't talked about it much since. But I'm wondering if he becomes Prime Minister and given his knowledge of Bitcoin and the fact that at least at one time he was talking fondly of it, and he was even on Breedlove's show, if I recall correctly, I'm wondering if there would be some sort of leniency towards a spendable amount of Bitcoin without having it to be a taxable event. I'm wondering if he's the one that's going to be able to do it or not. Just food for thought, but
you know, I really hope so. A lot of people have brought this point up, and the reason I hate politics is because to me it's really just a show with different seasons. And every season you get a new character that steps into that office or that chair. But it's all the same charade, the same script. So hopefully, you know, he can improvise, veer away from the script and bring some real value here to Canada with Bitcoin adoption and just fix our economy. It's going to take time. But yeah, maybe it'll take 8 years. Trudeau's had his fair share. So let's get someone else in there. Actually, I just want to make two more points.
Go ahead.
Education, Bitcoiners. If you're in London or Guelph, I have a talk next week on the 26th in London, Ontario, downtown. You can visit my website, bitcoinadvisors.org, head to the events tab, and you'll actually see two events lined up. The other one is in Guelph, Ontario, and that is March 7th. Yeah, we're doing a little presentation to help people understand why Bitcoin is important. We don't really go into the technicals behind Bitcoin. We just really want to show, kind of spark a little fire or, you know, something to think about as to why people should look at Bitcoin as a part of their life. And hopefully that grows over time as more sessions come online.
Yeah, check it out. So February 28th, I see it's 6:30 to 9 p.m., and then March 7th is from 7 to 9 p.m. So if you're in the area and you want to check it out, yeah, go to bitcoinadvisors.org. Check out the events tab. It's in there. And I'm not sure. Do you have to pre-book it or pre?
Like, yeah, so it would be really helpful for people to RSVP on the Eventbrite links when you click those events, just to give us an idea of numbers. And we may or may not be giving out sats at the end of it. So if you have someone that has never received sats before, then bring them to this event. They can learn about Bitcoin and then they can actually transact on the Lightning Network for the first time. That's a magical experience.
Let's do it, man. Let's load up these events with people with pre-coiners and make them Bitcoiners.
Exactly.
Gabe, thanks so much for coming on. I appreciate you spending time with us and talking about Bitcoin Advisors and a bunch of other things as well. So yeah, check them out. The information about finding him is in the show notes below. And it's also in the description of the audio. So, yeah, Gabe, thanks, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Hasta luego, buddy.
Thank you for your time. And thanks for the space. Okay.
No problem.
Bye.